KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have mostly clear skies, 60 degrees in Atlantic. We look for it to be partly cloudy today, a high of 79. Good morning. I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. Well, the Creston Police Department today reports two arrests took place on Wednesday. 41-year-old Jennifer White of Creston was arrested at her home on a warrant out of Kentucky for failure to appear in court for sentencing. White was being held in the Ringgold County Jail while awaiting extradition to Kentucky. And 30-year-old Cassandra Larkin of Creston was arrested Wednesday at the Union County Law Enforcement Center on a Department of Corrections warrant for parole violation. Larkin was being held without bond in the Ringgold County Jail. Officials of the Iowa Department of Natural Resources say they have identified a hepatotoxin called microcystin toxin in Green Valley Lake near Creston, which is in Union County. Microcystin toxin is released by blue-green algae or cyanobacteria. Cyanobacterial blooms can form in warm, slow-moving waters that are rich in nutrients, such as fertilizer runoff or septic tank overflows. The blooms can occur at any time, but most often occur in late summer or early fall. Symptoms may take hours or days to show up in people, but they normally show up within 1 week after exposure. And some symptoms of microcystin exposure or poisoning include rash, hives, or skin blisters, especially on the lips and under swimsuits, gastrointestinal symptoms such as stomach pain, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, severe headaches, and fever, runny eyes, nose, cough, and a sore throat, pleuritic pain, asthma-like symptoms or allergic reactions, and exposure to a large amount of microcystin can cause liver damage. Swimming in the lake should be avoided. If you do swim, do not ingest the water and wash yourself thoroughly before you leave. Before the summer is over, statistics show about 33 people will drown in Iowa's lakes, rivers, and swimming pools. Deb Cooper with the Iowa Department of Public Health says it's vital to follow safety rules when you're around a body of water, especially as we head into this busy, probably hot 4th of July weekend.
The thing I can't stress enough is to watch children around open areas of water, whether it's at a swimming pool or if you're at the lake or a pond or ever. Always keep your eye on children.
According to state records, over the past decade, as many as 43 people drowned in Iowa during 2005, while there were 22 deaths from drowning in 2009. Cooper credits the role that pool lifeguards play in keeping everyone safe and in keeping water quality healthy.
Most public swimming pools do provide lifeguards, and that's another thing. You should always swim in an area where there is a lifeguard. That's the safest way to do it. And there are people at the swimming pools that test the water regularly to make sure that the chemical levels are staying up where they should.
All Iowans are encouraged to learn how to swim and how to perform CPR.
Always wear a life jacket around open bodies of water. Two-thirds of drowning victims are good swimmers. So it's so important that you wear a life jacket when you're around those areas of water.
Find out more tips at the Iowa Department of Public Health website at www.idph.state.ia.us. The federal government has announced plans to step up monitoring of wild birds for avian influenza this fall to provide an early warning of any resurgence of a disease that devastated poultry farms in the upper Midwest. The U.S. Department of Agriculture issued plans Thursday aimed at minimizing the impacts on domestic poultry flocks if any bird flu viruses return or mutate in migrating waterfowl and other wild birds. Federal and state biologists will collect around 41,000 samples from apparently healthy wild birds from targeted areas across the country, mostly from ducks shot by hunters. The H5N2 strain has cost poultry producers around 48 million birds, hitting Iowa egg producers and Minnesota turkey growers especially hard. Well, for the first time in state history, overall state tax collections for a fiscal year have topped $8 billion. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
State officials have to subtract tax refunds and local option sales tax payments to schools from that $8 billion figure. It represents gross state tax receipts. It means net state tax collections were over $6.6 billion for the state fiscal year that ended Tuesday. A report from the Legislative Services Agency indicates state tax collections grew by 6% over the 12-month period. That growth rate beat the official expectation of 5.5% growth in state tax revenue during the fiscal year. I'm O.K. Henderson.
And the 6% increase amounts to nearly $377 million in additional tax payments to the state this fiscal year as compared to the last one. The increase was spurred by a nearly 6% increase in personal income tax payments to the state, plus corporate income tax payments to the state were up by about 5%. Sales and use Tax payments to the state were up by more than 4%. That's just under the prediction from a three-member panel that sets an official estimate of state tax collections. Lawmakers use that prediction as a basis for their state budget plan. Well, Governor Terry Branstad has been hinting for weeks that he was unhappy with the legislature's bipartisan compromise on education funding. And late Thursday afternoon, the governor used his item veto authority to reject nearly $56 million in proposed funding for K-12 public schools. Once again, here's Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson.
Governor Branstad points to $3 billion in state aid that he did approve for public school districts, but the governor says he cannot approve a one-time allotment of $56 million more. The president of the state teachers union says the extra money would have been a small degree of relief for some school districts, and Branstad's decision to cut that money out of the legislature's budget plan shows his lack of commitment to public education. A top Democrat in the Iowa Senate says the governor's move not only undermines the bipartisan deal legislators struck, it jeopardizes a proposed tuition freeze at the three state universities. Branstad rejected one-time spending increases for the University of Iowa, Iowa State University, and the University of Northern Iowa. In other official action Thursday, Branstad followed through and formally rejected the bipartisan proposal that called for keeping the state-run mental health institutes in Clarinda and Mount Pleasant open. The two facilities actually were closed for good earlier this week. I'm O.K. Henderson.
An Iowa State Patrol trooper was recognized Thursday for his efforts over the past two decades in getting drivers under the influence of drugs off the roadway. Patrick Hoy, chief of the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, says Trooper Mark Griggs has completed more than 500 drug evaluations.
Since the inception of the program in Iowa, our records indicate that he is the first officer to reach this impressive plateau.
And Griggs is one of 125 certified drug recognition experts in Iowa. He's a 22-year veteran of the Iowa State Patrol.
Anytime we do take an impaired driver off the road, whether it be drugs or alcohol, we have saved a life. Honestly, we have.
And Griggs talked about some of the drugs he's come across in traffic stops involving impaired drivers.
A lot of opiates, hydrocodones, oxycontins, morphines, dilaudids. Heroin is coming back. It's making a trend, which is an illegal drug. We see a lot of cannabis abuse, methamphetamine still around, and recently I've run into some cocaine use around here.
According to Patrick Hoy, 30% of traffic fatalities in Iowa involve impaired drivers. Griggs said as he began his career with the patrol in the late 1990s, he knew many of the drunk drivers he encountered were possibly under the influence of drugs. But at the time, law enforcement officers were not trained to assess a motorist for drug driving. Now, officers can receive specialized training to determine if a driver might be under the influence or even of illegal or even legal drugs that might pose a threat to highway safety.
So that is helping to get the word out that drugs and alcohol don't mix, or strictly drugs cause impairment also, whether it be illegal drugs or prescription drugs, because there is a lot of abuse in prescription drugs nowadays.
In 2014, according to the Iowa Department of Public Safety, there were 47 drug-related traffic fatalities in Iowa. The 43-year-old Griggs lives in Ankeny with his wife and two children. He's a native of Harcourt in Webster County. The news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.